a real joy and a privilege to speak and minister here, and I do thank you very much. I feel very humbled, and it's a real privilege to come here at Bethany. Let us pray. Lord, we pray now as we look to your word, that your word is powerful, that your word is mighty, that it's a two-edged sword. Give us open hearts, open minds, not adding anything or taking anything away. Help your servant proclaim your word effectively and clearly to communicate your gospel, that Christ will be glorified, that your Holy Spirit would move among us, that we'd see Jesus in all his beauty, in all his loveliness. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're looking at Galatians chapter 6. The first part of the verses our reading is, and I'll read it to you. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And to really understand this passage, to start off with, Galatians 5:25-26 verses. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. You know, Galatians 5 and the verses before, the two verses I've read, 16-25, the Apostle Paul has described both the Christian conflict between the flesh and the Spirit, and the way of victory through crucifying the flesh and walking by the Spirit. And Galatians 5:26 and 6-5, the first half of our passage, describes one of the practical results of this victory. It concerns our personal relationships, especially with fellow believers in the congregation. This is plain from the exhortation. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And Ephesians 5, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. And we need to be filled with the Spirit. And the first fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians, we read of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. It is easy to talk about love in an abstract and general way. It is much harder to get down to concrete particular situations in which we can actually demonstrate our love for one another. It is some of these which Paul now unfolds. He tells us how if we are walking by the Spirit, we shall not behave towards each other in the wrong way. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. I'm very privileged, and as Julie knows, comes to the Priory on Tuesdays and kindly helps in the tea room. Very privileged to live at Carisbrook Priory, to be warden, caretaker, and a voluntary Salvation Army worker there. And one of the things I found, I've been there, living there since August 2017, and if I do not commit the day to God and pray, Lord, just help me today. Lord, just give me strength. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let me do everything in your strength, not my strength. But if I don't do that, if I don't spend that time, and it just got to be a few minutes, first thing in the morning, if I don't do that, I fall flat on my back and I fall flat on my face and the day doesn't go well. I expect sometimes you have days like that as well. If you don't seek the Lord and ask God's help. And this is certainly a passage, and we are going to look at this passage, and I'm jumping ahead to verse 2. This is our theme, and you'll see why in a minute. Carry others' burdens, and in this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. That we're to carry one another's burdens as the body of Christ. And to care for one another, it says in Peter, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, care for one another. And we're to help each other in the family of God. We are to care for each other. And we are to carry one another's burdens. It makes such a difference, doesn't it, to have a listening ear. Somebody to share with. Who's found it difficult to share your burden or problems or challenges with somebody else? Has anybody experienced that? I'm sure there is. I can remember as a young Christian, and became a Christian, as brought up like in the church, but came to a personal faith in Jesus is 17 years of age. And I had some challenges in the workplace. Those were the days when it was easy to get a job. You could go from one job to another. And being a young man, I did have some challenges, and quite some big challenges. And I'm afraid I fell into the trap with a group of Christians I prayed with, read the Bible, but I didn't share my problems, my challenges. You could say I was too proud. And I thought, well, what are they going to think of me if I share this? This is a sign of a weakness, and it wasn't a terribly good idea just having the burden on my own. You can well imagine that. It would have been far better if I was humble enough, not too proud, to share that burden, to share that problem with those I was praying with, reading the Bible. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. We can help each other. We can care for each other. God, I expect you heard the term, God does not want you to be a lone ranger. Isn't that right? We're a body. We're a team. Do I get some amens for that? Is that right? Are we more better as a team? Are we more better as a body? Are we more effective? And, you know, a Christian brother was telling me, he was sharing another brother's burden. Sadly, his wife has got, had a stroke. And this brother is pretty limited in the home and going out. And yet, this brother would go to the home and they'd have fellowship, just supporting this particular brother. And sometimes we have small burdens, and sometimes bigger burdens. And as I thought of this particular verse, I was challenged back along by the Holy Spirit. I can only really minister and preach effectively what I've experienced in my own life. And way before, would have been 24 years ago, sadly, my family sort of fell apart. I'm very blessed. I've now married a lovely lady 15 years ago, Stella. And in my pain and in my anguish, a lovely Christian sister said, you can phone me any time you like. She gave me the support, the help, and she was listening to me, and she was always there. And as you can well imagine, that made a tremendous difference in my life. It just helped me get through, and I felt in a way I wasn't having the burden alone. It was somebody to share with through the pain, through the loneliness, through the heartache. And so as we carry each other's burdens, and this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. And there are scriptures on love. And I think we did sing it, you know, a new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. John 13:34. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. In Galatians, we're looking at Galatians 5:14. The entire law is summed up in love. Now, I'm going to come to verse 1. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean just the men, but sisters as well, male, female. Brothers, if someone is caught up in a sin, some of the translations it says fault, trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. And this is a way of carrying each other's burdens. A few years ago, well, round about that time, as I was sharing, when my family broke apart, I went through a time of backsliding, and those were the days when there was like church in the morning and the evening. So I did three things. I was in rebellion to God, you could say, in a way. I threw myself in fishing. I threw myself in scouting. And I said I'm going to do as much overtime as I possibly can at work. I went to the evening services in those days, and but I was just going through the motions. And, you know, God just intervened. And one night, a Christian minister phoned me up, and he knew my situation, and he said, "Andrew, I want you to pray this prayer." And I wrote it down in a little workbook, and I've always think of this little prayer he got me to pray. And this was the prayer: "Blessed are you, Lord of all, for revealing yourself to me in Jesus Christ my Saviour. Give me wisdom to know your will. Give me humility to kneel before you in worship in the church. Give me generosity to share the great love you give me, I pray in Jesus' name." And this minister, in a way, he kind of took me under his wing, and he said, "Look, come and see me. You need to study. You need to read books and really sort of help me." I was doing one or two services, but I did more preaching and just building me up, just encouraging. Yes, I had some challenges, but life began to change. And the Church of England vicar, he said, "Andrew, you can help me." I was doing my lay preach training. He said, "You can help me with the Holy Communion, you know, help preparing and in serving." And I was really, really blessed. And it was a wonderful time, looking back, of just getting close to the Lord. God is good. The Lord is good. And as this minister said, the prodigal has returned, and there's rejoicing in heaven. And when I prayed that prayer, it was like the sinner's prayer, a prayer as a Christian before at 17, but must have been about late 47 or something like that. And you know, so blessed. And it's so important. And sometimes, and I think we're all guilty, and I think this is what it is: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And some people, times, we let people just kind of slip through the net, and that could have happened to me, but by the love and grace of God, this minister, this vicar, you know, did all they could to help me. It is, we read this passage, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, Christ is Lord. We do everything unto Jesus. We're nothing of ourselves. Lord, I commit myself to you. I want to follow you. Each one, verse 4, should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. And what actually does that mean? And I was on a little bit of a chat with Steve, you know, before the start of the service, and I wrestled with this. Is this a contradiction? You know, each one should take, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, verse 5, for each one should carry his own load. And I worked in a bacon factory in the office, and this was way 1972, the days before they had computers and all the rest of it, and it was writing by hand, you know, from 8 o'clock in the morning, an hour for dinner, then to the old-fashioned ledger books. And I had a job to run the office when other people were away, and you just guess what the office foreman said, you know, I just cannot carry you, you know. I am carrying you. You have got to take some responsibility. You are responsible for your actions. What happens in the office when I'm away? You need to sort of square up and sharpen the mind and get all the paperwork up to date and really thoroughly check it and write it neat so somebody could see it. And we have to give an account, and sometimes we don't want to be responsible for our actions. Each of us has to give an account to Jesus on the last day of, on that day of judgment. Have I lived my life? Have I used my talents? Have I used my gifts? Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor, you know, just sharing. And then we got this classic verse, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. Walking in the Spirit. And you know, there's consequences to our actions. We reap what we sow. If we're not going to obey God's word and just go against God's word and do our own thing, we're going to not reap a harvest. But if we follow the Lord, love the Lord, please the Lord, seek the Lord, we are going to reap a harvest. And then verse 9, I'm going to finish now, but let us not be weary in doing good. For at the proper time we reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I think we all sometimes feel weary, and you know, we've got to keep it, especially in the Christian church, all the activities we do. Just think of the athletes who watch the Olympics. They don't give up, do they? They just got to keep at it, haven't they, sometimes? And sometimes they literally feel like giving up. And sometimes they don't win a medal. And then they try again, they keep practicing. And we must not be weary in well doing. And yes, we can be mocked by the world. You know, the world might not read its Bible, but it reads your life. It reads my life. And then it finally says this, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. As we have opportunity, let us good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, and carry each other's burdens. A Christian sister, a minister, a vicar helped carry my burdens when I was going through a difficult time in my life. Maybe this morning you know somebody who's going through a difficult time. And it's very easy, and I've done it myself, well I'll pray for you. But sometimes it needs more than prayer. Sometimes it needs a visit. Sometimes it needs time. Yet I remember when I lived on the mainland, and I've lived on the island since 2009. What I was sharing with you this morning was when I was on the mainland and visiting a brother. He was a very lonely man. He was agoraphobic. He could not go out, but he really looked forward to those visits. His wife went in a nursing home. He was on his own. And sadly, when he went to the hospital, I was one of the last people to see him before he passed away. And he had two sisters who thought the world of him, and they were really blessed. Not because of me, but that I was able to visit him, able to comfort him, that I was a friend to George. Let us carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ as the opportunity occurs. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we can carry each other's burdens. Lord, sometimes we see our brothers and sisters, and they certainly carry a burden. And Lord, we know that if we help them, we can make that burden lighter. As we do this, we please you. As we do this, we minister to you. Lord, we know that you said, to those who come to you and ask for a drink, give them a drink. Those that come to you naked, clothe them. Those that come to you hungry, give them food. Those who are strangers and have no friends, be friends to them. And those who are in prison, visit them. For as you do it to the least of these, so you do it to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close now as we say our grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.